The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
I want to start off with a quick little story about two little boys. A couple had two little boys, ages 8 and 10, who were excessively mischievous. The two were always getting into trouble, and their parents could be assured that if any mischief occurred in their town, the two young sons were in some way involved. The parents were at their wits' end as to what to do about their son's behavior. The mother had heard that a clergyman in town had been successful in disciplining children in the past, so she asked her husband if he thought they should send the boys to speak with the clergyman. The husband said, "Well, we might as well. We need to do something before I really lose my temper." So the clergyman agreed to speak with the boys, but asked to see them individually. He first saw the 8-year-old, and the clergyman sat the boy down and asked him sternly, "Where is God?" The boy made no response, so the clergyman repeated the question in an even sterner tone, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer, so the clergyman raised his voice and even more shook his finger in the boy's face, saying, "Where is God?" At that, the boy bolted from the room, ran directly home, slamming himself in the closet. His older brother followed him into the closet and asked what had happened. The younger brother said, "We're in big trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it." All right. If you're a note taker, the title of today's message is God's Healing Grace, and our scripture is Psalm 147:3. So God's healing grace is the title of today's message. This morning we're going to look at three aspects of God's healing grace. First one is God says that we are accepted. God says we are valuable. And God says that we are loved. All right, God's healing grace. One of the things that I've learned in this world is that no one has an easy life. We all have problems. We all have hurts. And we all have hidden wounds. Another thing I've learned is that one of the deepest hurts of all is rejection. Rejection from parents, peers, partners, and all of these rejections hurt. Some of us can remember things which happened or were said maybe 5, 10, 15, or more years ago. We don't let go of our hurts very easy because the wounds are deep. So how do you deal with your hurts? How do you get over your pain? Well, I want to talk about that this morning, and we do that by God's healing grace. I want to talk about how God heals the wounds of our life, and our scripture verse this morning, David tells us he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. How does God heal us? How does God fix our wounded spirits? One of the ways he does that is by telling us how valuable we are, by telling us we are important. We may not realize it, but we are so valuable to God that he sent his son to heal us. It is the story of the New Testament. God sent his son Jesus to the earth because he knew that we were hurting and that we needed healing. Brokenhearted, rejected by some, bruised sometimes emotionally and sometimes physically, God saw our hearts and sent his son to come and heal us. And we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Someone told me a long time ago, and for those of you who know me, you know who I'm going to be talking about, told me that I needed to insert my name into that verse. She told me that what I needed to do was, every time that verse was said, plug my name in. I'm going to have a hard time saying this, because I don't like my other name that is used. "For God so loved Billy that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that if Billy would believe in Jesus, Billy would not perish, but that Billy would have eternal life." You can put your name in there too, because God loved us so much that he sent his son to heal us all. The facts are, guys, God loves me, God loves you, and he wants the best for all of us. God thinks I'm important. He thinks you're important. So important that he sent his son to die for us. So how does God heal? Glad you asked. Part of the healing process involves changing the way we think about ourselves. You don't have to turn to it, but Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." God tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the way we think, by the renewing of our minds. The Bible places great emphasis on our thought life. Our thoughts are powerful. They direct our lives. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So in other words, if you view yourself as a loser, you're going to tend to be a loser in life. If you view yourself as a failure, you're going to tend to fail. But if you see yourself as a winner, you will give more effort into winning. If you see yourself as an overcomer, you will put more effort into overcoming. It's very simple. Our beliefs determine our behaviors. The way we think determines the way that we act. Therefore, we ought to think in a manner which pleases God. I'm not one that accepts compliments very well. I don't like to be complimented, thing of mine. But there are times when I do get a compliment, and it never comes from Kenny, but there's times when I do get a compliment, and it makes me feel good, you know, boosts my self-esteem a little bit, and helps me get a new perspective. The problem is that many of us have heard too many negative statements. I grew up in a home. My brother and I grew up in a home with an alcoholic father. And all we heard was how worthless we were, how we would never amount to anything. It was a constant barrage of just hateful statements. And it stuck. It still sticks. My dad is gone. Been gone for almost 20 years. I've forgiven him. I know I'm not what he said I was because of God's grace. Sorry. So if others don't give us negative criticism, and I'm guilty of this, we criticize ourselves. I am my own worst critic. I constantly tell myself, and I still do this, and it drives me nuts, drives April nuts too, I still tell myself I'm stupid. You know, if I drop something or run into a wall, and it's like, why did I even do that? I'm dumb, you know? But that's counterproductive. I'm speaking negativity into my life, and that's not good. It hurts me. It hurts those around me, and it also hurts the heart of God, because that's not who we are. We're not dumb. We're not stupid. We're not worthless. We've gotten into a negative thought pattern, but God wants to break that old pattern, and he wants us to accept his way of thinking. Just like I said in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let me say this all up front, and I know we all know this, but God knows that we've sinned. He knows we've messed up, and we know it too. But he also says some very positive things about you and me, and this is what I want to speak about today. I want us to look at those three things that God says about you and I. God says that we are accepted. We all remember when we were growing up that anytime there would be a team sport and we'd pick teams, the two most popular kids would be picked as the captains, and then everybody else was out there, and then the captains would pick, you know, I want you, I want you, I want you. And we always sat there thinking, oh Lord, we never want to be the last one that is chosen. We know what it feels like. We know the hurt that rejection brings, but God does not do that to us. The Bible says we were chosen by God. We are accepted by his grace. We have been offered an invitation. He wants us on his team. Now, do we deserve that? Probably not. Are we the best player? Probably not. But we are important to him, and he wants us by his side. Romans chapter 15, verse 7, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and it says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. Did you guys catch that? All right. Accept one another, then just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise. Makes me feel good when I hear an amen. Paul says that we are to accept one another in the same way that Christ has accepted us. We are accepted by Christ. He has opened a door and invited us in. He welcomes us to come into his presence. He tells us that we are valuable, and he wants us to be part of his team. He wants us to be part of his family. Look at what Jesus tells us in chapter 14 of John. It's 14:2 and 3. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. I don't know about you, but that's good news. I'm glad to hear that he has a place for me. He knows me inside and out. He knows you inside and out. But he still has a place for me because he has accepted me onto his team and into his family. There are a few things that change when we become a Christian. Jesus becomes our Savior. Other Christians become our brothers and sisters. And God becomes our Father. In other words, we become one big family. We are accepted. There is no more rejection. God welcomes us into his house, all of us into his house. You all remember the last verse of the 23rd Psalm. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is a home for us because he has accepted us into his family. The invitation is open to all of us, despite our sins. He will forgive. He will heal, and he will restore. But that's not all. Number two, God says we are valuable. Matthew 10, 29 through 31 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even then, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Bible references sparrows, they're birds, obviously you know what birds are, I mean, you know what sparrows are. The birds are tiny, dull, and bland in color. Yet this verse tells us that God knows even when the sparrow falls to the ground. Even though the sparrow is not worth much money, God is aware of what is happening to the sparrow. Do you think God knows what is happening to us? He knows when we fall asleep. He knows when we wake up. He knows when we are feeling down. He knows when we are feeling rejected. He knows every hurt and every tear that has been shed. He knows in such detail that he even says, I know how many hairs you have on the top of your head. You are valuable. You are worth more than a flock of sparrows. I am valuable, and so are you. I am worth something, and so are you. How much do you think you are worth, you say? I don't know. Well, let me ask you this then. How do you judge the value of anything? How many of you guys ever watched Antiques Roadshow or American Pickers? Good shows. I love American Pickers. In watching that, there's three things that I found that determine the value of an object. One of them is rarity. Second is quality. And the third is popularity. So rarity is an object that determines the value of something. So if I was to go outside and pick up a rock, there wouldn't be much value in that because there's a whole lot of rocks out there. Now, if I were to go out there and find a diamond, that would be something that's valuable because it's rare. I mean, you might find someone who dropped a ring or something, or a diamond fell out of a necklace or something. But that's it. Rarity. Diamonds are rare. Even in diamond mines, they're hard to find. We are unique, and we are one of a kind. There is only one of you, just like there's only one of me. David said, as he praised God, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of us should praise God in this manner. All of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created me to be unique. He knows everything about me. He knows that my fingerprints was going to be different than yours. He knows that my personality is different than your personality. He knows the exact moment that I was born, and he knows the exact moment that I'm going to die. He knows my thoughts and my motives. He knows me inside and out. Yes, we are all humans, but we are also unique, and that makes each and every one of us valuable. We are each one of a kind, created in God's image. I have value, I have worth. Not only that, but I am of the highest quality because my maker is a master. Let's take, for example, a church that has stained glass windows. Big windows, beautiful windows, great windows, but they're not Tiffany-type windows. Down the street, there's a church that has Tiffany windows, and the value of those windows was over twice the value of the other. And you may ask why. The answer is obvious. It's because they were made by Tiffany. Tiffany is a master craftsman. He was a craftsman who only produced the highest quality of work. I was created by a master craftsman, and because a master craftsman made me, I have great value. He formed me. He who formed me set the stars in place. He who formed me created the colors of the universe. He who formed me created everything by the word of his power. He who made me is a master craftsman of the highest quality. Nothing can surpass his work. He is a master craftsman, but that's not all. There's one other thing that determines value. The second thing is popularity. I'm sorry, the last thing is popularity. Popularity determines how much someone is willing to pay for it. So how much is an object worth? Well, it's worth whatever someone is willing to pay for it. If there are many people who want an object and there is a limited supply, the price goes up. It's called the law of supply and demand. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price. You may ask, what price? I can tell you, Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus came to heal us. He came to make us well. He came to save us. He went to the cross to die for our sins in order that we do not have to die for them ourselves. He paid the ultimate price. He suffered the punishment in order that we do not have to suffer the punishment ourselves. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So how valuable am I? I'm so valuable that God sent his son to die for me. He sent his son to die for you too. Why did he do that? Because you and I are valuable. That's not all. The third thing is we are loved. Knowing that we are loved sure feels good when we are dealing with rejection or a broken heart. I'm sure everyone in here has been in that circumstance, situation, once in their life at least. When we are rejected, we sure don't feel very lovable. When someone rejects us, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife, a partner, children, it hurts and it sure makes us feel down in the dumps. We are brokenhearted. We think nobody loves me. I'm not worth anything. I'm not loved by anybody. When you have thoughts like that, you're wrong. The Bible says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will never be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. This verse tells me that God's love will remain no matter what happens. There are two characteristics that make God's love different from human love. God's love is consistent. God's love is never going to end. It is not fickle. It is not, say, one day I love you and the next day get lost. Most of us have experienced inconsistent love in our lives because we live with human beings. Humans are inconsistent. I heard one lady say quite a while ago, she said, growing up, I never knew whether I'd be hugged or slugged. It all depended on the mood that my mom was in that day. But God is not human. God doesn't have bad hair days. God is not unpredictable. And that is why God can tell us the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then, my faithful love for you will remain. It's good news, isn't it? No matter what we do. God's love is always consistent. It is always dependable. The second thing that makes God's love different than human love, thank God for this, it's unconditional. God's love is not based on our performance. It's unconditional. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think it was last November when I gave a message. It was the first time that I publicly confessed that I had an affair in 2009. April and I were nearly 10 years into our marriage, and I don't have to go into describing how devastating it was, how bad it was. Because of who God is, because of his grace, and prayer from family and friends who were always there for us. He healed our marriage. And on July 3rd of this year, we celebrated our 20th anniversary. I tell you that to tell you this. We've all heard someone say, when I get my life together, I'll come to church. When I get my life together, I'll ask Jesus to be my Savior. Folks, Christ died for you just as you are. He's not waiting for you to get your life better because you'll never do it without him. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's not asking us to get better. He is asking us if we want to be healed. He is the one who can heal us. He is the one who can forgive us. He is the one who can transform us. He is the one who can save us. We need to come to him for that healing. If I had waited till I got my life together, my marriage would have never been restored. I want to finish with a story, though. Jesus told a story saying there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, no one showed up. So he called them on the phone, sent some text messages and some emails saying, come on over, the food's on the table. But they all began to make excuses. The first one said, I bought a piece of property and I need to go look it over, so I'm sorry I can't make it. Another said, I just bought a new car and I really need to check it out. I can't make it either. And yet another said, I need to run to the store. They're having a huge sale, so I can't make it there. Even though the invitations had been sent out well in advance, no one came. The host was very disappointed, but he had an idea. He said, here's what I will do. I will go into the city streets and alleys. I will invite anyone who looks like they could use a good meal. I don't care if they're unemployed, homeless, or cast out. I will accept them, I will feed them, and I will take care of them. And that comes from Luke 14, 16 through 24. And that is what he has done. He has sent us an invitation to his dinner party. And if we respond, he will accept us. He will take care of us. He will heal us. God's love for us is unconditional. Accept his love today. Say, yes, Lord, I know I have messed up, but today I want to be with you. I want you to be my Savior. I want to be part of your family. Forgive me, heal me, and restore me. I just want to just kind of throw this out. I don't know. I'm not like I have any kind of revelation or anything. But if this message has resonated with you and it's tugged at your heart, and you are at a point maybe where you have never asked God to be part of your life or to come into your life, do it today. Don't walk out of here. And if you are like me and have fallen back many times, ask God to come back. He will come back to you. So if you are in one of those two situations, for the love of God, don't leave here today without asking. If you need someone to pray with you, we would be honored. All of us up here, I know Jim, I'm volunteering Jim. Any of us would be happy to pray with you. It's like Pastor Dave says, do business with God today. Don't walk out of here until you do. We will be here as long as you need. All right?
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit Wellspring.